our intuitive capacities really only just strengthen, like any muscle, over time with practice and with getting to know yourself better. But I think the easiest way to start is, well, you can call it your gut. I'm going to listen when something doesn't feel right in my body. I'm going to start to listen to what truth sounds like to me, like the resonance of truth in somebody's voice, that like transmission of frequency. I'm going to try and start to listen to what that sounds like in my body so that I can then start to know what untruth sounds like.
Welcome to A Way of Thinking. I'm your host, Jessica Huang. This podcast is dedicated to lighting the way towards greater creativity, purpose, and inner peace. My own journey has taken me from a decade-long corporate finance career to following my own path as a purpose coach. I help people move from an unfulfilling corporate career to the creative career of their dreams. Now let's dive into today's show. Hello and welcome to this episode of A Way of Thinking. I'm your host, Jessica Huang. And in this episode, I talk with founder and CEO of Rainbow, Tanya Papanikolaou. Tanya and I talk about destiny as a choice that you make of whether to step into the version of yourself that's in alignment with your unique soul's path. She shares about how intuition is often this thing that doesn't quite make sense, but is that inner knowing. And we also talk about how it took a combination of self-determination, confidence, and a little bit of innocence to start her company, Rainbow, which makes mushroom-based products despite not having a business background. And she shares the incredible power of mushrooms in facilitating our body's ability to reach homeostasis and modulate our immune system. And we end with talking about the essential need for creativity, for our spirit, and how we show up in our everyday life. So keep listening for my conversation with Tanya. And before we get started, I want to make a few quick announcements. So the first announcement is that if you've been enjoying listening and gaining wisdom from A Way of Thinking, you can support the show by going to jessicahuangcoaching.com/donate. And secondly, if you are someone who wants to really step into that version of yourself that's fully in alignment with your own unique soul's path, and maybe you're looking to move from a corporate career into something more creative and more aligned with who you are, then I invite you to book a free strategy session with me at my website, jessicahuangcoaching.com. And we can get started today in moving you one step closer towards that career that you've always dreamed of. Okay, now without further ado, here is my conversation with Tanya Papanikolaou. Our guest today is Tanya Papanikolaou. Tanya is a holistic nutritionist, yogi, entrepreneur, and educator. She is the founder and CEO of Rainbow, a sustainable medicinal mushroom company offering supplements and functional foods. She is based in Salt Spring Island, Canada. So welcome to the show, Tanya.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure to wake up and see your face and have this conversation.
Absolutely. I am so excited for this. Tanya and I got connected through Henry Winslow because Tanya was a guest on Dharma Talk before, and he recommended you as someone that he loved interviewing and thought that it would be a great fit for you to come on my podcast. So I am so excited for this conversation, and I think it's amazing, like the connections that we get to make through this. So thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. I love Henry, love connecting with, just other folks that are in the space of deep inquiry, you know, and digging into like asking the questions of like why we're here and what is the soul kind of aligned with in this lifetime. So I'm really grateful to be here as well. And thank you, Henry.
Yeah, thank you so much to Henry for connecting us. Okay, so I would love to get started with talking about purpose. And you had mentioned the word dharma when we were talking before this. So I would love your take on like, what does purpose or dharma mean to you?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I guess when I have maybe like a more refined understanding of this now, I want to go back to maybe when I was 24 or 25 and what I felt then, because that is really what got me on this path. So I guess really when it comes down to it, there is, I think some words that come to mind for me are alignment and connection with self. And so what actually got me into like this as a whole was misalignment and feeling like this incongruency in my being of what I knew to be true inside and what my outward reflection of how I was spending my time. And that's what I keep coming back to, even now as like I have been on this path now for over 10 years. Like, it's just interesting because I feel a really strong sense of alignment and purpose now. And it was a really intentional process to get here. And so, yeah, so I guess in my 20s, that looked like, you know, I started the journey pretty early getting into Dharma and yoga when I was like 21, 22, as I was in this corporate place at that point. And all I could feel was just like, oh my goodness, everybody says this is like an amazing job. And yet inside, I just, am I crazy? Like when you're at that stage and you don't have like the life experience yet, it's a really, really hard decision. Because it's also like, it's the societal programming. You leave university, you get a job, you climb the ladder. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And that works for whoever it works for. But for me, it was like, it was making me sick. It was not in alignment with my values of like what I was talking about on a daily basis, like everything. And while I maybe couldn't recognize that then, what it just felt like was complete and utter discomfort in myself and my experience. And so what I was looking for was, I guess, you know, and I think I'm afraid to say it because it can be kind of scared to say like, wow, I think I'm here to do something else, or I think I'm here to be somebody else. And there's maybe that internal voice that exists in us that's like, well, who are you to say that? Who are you to believe that that can be true for you? And if that self-doubt is also present, then it's like, well, it's there for all of us, first of all. So it's not wrong. It just is. And it's not the thing that we should be really listening to or believing. You just take it for like that face value of like, oh, hello. Like, you know, I'm going to let that thought float by. But yeah, so I guess now the journey of it continues to be, what is my relationship to my soul and, you know, what I feel like I came here to do and perhaps a particular destiny. And I think the words dharma and destiny, they may not resonate for people, right? They don't, may not know what they mean. It's like, if that's not the word that you want to use, then that's totally fine too. And, you know, having studied so much yogic philosophy and, you know, lineages, I do really resonate with those words. To me, it is kind of a part of the purpose conversation, especially when we start to think about destiny. And my idea of destiny kind of started to change because before it seemed like, to me anyways, in my perception, it seemed like destiny was like, oh, well, that's kind of like things are written in the stars or predetermined. Oh, well, do I even have a say in that? My more refined understanding of it now is more of like a path that is in alignment with the soul's purpose and journey in this life. And so I was mentioning to you that I love astrology. I'm not at a point where I can really like read it and understand it myself, but I have a lot of amazing people in my life who I'll book a session with and they will go deep together. And I usually do this around this time, looking at my year ahead to be like, okay, I feel this, like what's coming in for 2024. I will just say in terms of that destiny piece, like it is, if you're really unsure of what do I have a purpose. So I will just say my understanding of the whole, when I refer to my soul, right? It's like my understanding of that has been informed by so many years of study and like understanding myself. It wasn't like when I was 23 or 24, I really knew much about my soul yet. So it's definitely a journey in getting there and getting to know yourself really, really intimately and deeply. But for anybody that's interested, like getting to know your astrology and the map of, and play around with different versions of it. So there's Vedic astrology, there's Western astrology. And then my session yesterday that I had with another friend and yogi, Harman Jote, she practiced like a sidereal astrology, which is similar to Vedic, but not totally. So like your signs kind of change. But either way, there is definitely like really clear similarities. And you can see where your soul came from and where it's going. And the map of like what you're here to do and the unique challenges that your soul has kind of signed up for in this life in order to move forward and transcend. And ideally, like it's a one lifetime deal. Like you do what you need to do in this lifetime so that it's either like you can stop repeating those lessons and move on to the next. And so I wanted to just say that because there's so many tools that we can use to get closer to like, what is the unique thing that I came here to do? And we can also look to what we loved as children or what we dreamt about or what we were really inherently connected to or who we are. And in those moments, there's often some external programming as well to kind of brush some of those experiences off. And it's not by any wrongdoing. It's just like really kind of typical behavior to be like, oh, that's her imagination or that's his whatever. Like that's him being a kid or a child. But I think there's a lot of wisdom that we come here with that we kind of get unlearned out of even from that young age. We get kind of, it's easy to lose access to that. So that's a very long-winded answer, but I suppose, yeah, purpose is a bunch of those things to me. And just sorry to finish up the destiny conversation. After studying yoga in more depth, I've kind of come to understand that destiny is kind of, it's a choice you make to step into a version of yourself that's in alignment with your unique soul's path. And ultimately, you have full autonomy and sovereignty in all of those choices you make, but it is choices that you're making towards the evolution of your soul. And not to say that you won't make mistakes or like that there's any wrong or right on that path. I believe this positive directional flow of energy in a particular kind of direction and with a particular velocity and sense of like belief and strength in this is what I want to do. This is what I'm here for. These are my unique gifts. This is what I want to offer the world. The legacy I want to leave, it doesn't even have to be like poetic or you don't have to want to leave a legacy either, but it's like, what about if we just left a legacy in every moment with how we made somebody feel in an interaction? You know, those are also moments that can define us as humans or imprint our destiny. So it's kind of like a lot of conscious awareness in how you're choosing to show up. And then in a literal sense too, like, how am I spending my time? We don't have much of it. So how am I every single day showing up in this world and choosing to do a certain type of work? You know, I'd love to hear more from people about how their experience is. I think we all likely get to a point in our careers where we're like, oh, it's time for a change. And that can be scary and you don't know what's next. And it's like, I want to be cautious not to come across as, you know, I realize that I'm very lucky in getting to choose how to spend time just to an extent, right? I have a business. So like there's responsibilities of me and I've been in stages of life too, where I have to show up for work. Most of my life I've had to like show up for work, right? So I get that there's this bridge between maybe where you are and where you want to be. And we've all been there and will likely continue to be there at different stages in life. So it's also to say that like you can cross that bridge slowly over time. Like it's possible is what I want to say. Even though it might not be possible right now because you need X, Y, and Z dollars to survive and pay the bills and make ends meet, there's also this like next step and next stage that no matter what takes time and, you know, conscious effort to make a plan for like, what are the steps that I need to take or this one big leap I need to take to get there? And so that's my long-winded answer.
I love that. That was perfect. I was like, there's so many things I feel like that we could discuss all that. I will say I loved what you were talking about there about destiny, because I think that word can feel so big. And I love how you were bringing in this idea of like, it's choice in the matter though. Like there is this like conscious choosing to step into the thing that we are meant to do and all these kind of ideas that I think otherwise it does feel like that kind of, am I just forced into it? And it's like, no, like there is that element of like, do you choose to move into that? And I love what you were talking about, that feeling that you had when you were in these kind of corporate jobs. I could definitely relate to that feeling where it's that misalignment definitely spoke to me where I was just like, oh, I have felt that. I have been there. It is such a real feeling of saying like the person I am and the person I'm showing up as for my job are like two different entities, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we deal with that? You know, and being able to consciously choose to step away from that path into something that feels more of that alignment is such a powerful choice to make. I feel like that is that destiny that you were talking about there.
Yeah.
So I loved what you were bringing into that.
Well, I love what you just said as well about who I am here is not who I am here. And that is also purpose, right? Like that is such a beautiful way to think about it in relation to your everyday, because there's really no me at work and me at home or me with my friends. Like it is all just the exact same you. And ideally, as little crossover as there can be is going to create that inherent sense of wholeness in you and that sense of like, I am where I am, wherever I am, and I just show up as that. And obviously, there's going to be different triggers in different scenarios, but the real leadership is in showing up with that same level of consistency in every place in our lives.
I love that. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So along those lines, the word that I was also pulling out of what you were saying earlier is intentional. Mm. So I love that idea of like, how can we be more intentional? You were talking about more intentional with our time, more intentional in like the direction we're moving in. So can you talk a little bit about how that looked for you for taking more intentional steps? Like maybe how was it when you were kind of transitioning away from these corporate careers or however you want to bringing more intention into your life?
Yeah. Okay. So two things. One other thing I wanted to mention about what you said before getting into intention was also just this idea of how when you're working with purpose and maybe starting to fine tune your relationship with your inner knowing, because that's also right. That's like, that's part of your intuition and your like the activation of this inner knowing. And it's important to know the difference between, you know, if it's really cool to think about like from a gut science perspective, like how that gut plays into that third eye and that sense of inner knowing, because that gut connection, or whether you want to call it intuition or like that gut knowing, is incredibly right. It's like incredibly fine-tuned. And so I think it's important to be able to differentiate slowly with time and practice the difference between a fear and an intuition. And so what I wanted to just share about that inner knowing is that often the inner knowing is the thing that people don't yet understand. So, and it's often that way with intuition, like, right, if my intuition is the opposite of what I feel or what others people feel for me, I'm like, oh, okay, that's usually right. That's one little way for me, because it's like, the intuition is usually the hard way. It's like, oh, I know this. I know this to be true. And oh my goodness, it doesn't really make that much sense. Like, why? Why do I have to like leave this? This is a really good job. Or like a good or a bad relationship. I think that intuition and that inner knowing feeds into this so wholly. And so for me, in relation to your question around intention, I've been studying health sciences since I was like a teenager. So I kind of like was on that path quite early. And then I went into corporate world. It was also like one of the best things for me, I will say. Like, although it wasn't, I got so much from it. And it has in so many ways turned me into who I am today. So it's like, it's not all bad. It was just a challenge and ultimately wasn't right for me. But I think, yeah, like how I started to come into yoga was really through health issues and a lot of stress and a lot of digestive issues. And so in my early 20s, when I got back into the health space, it was out of some necessity, right? Because I wasn't feeling well at all. And so I started to intentionally find ways to feel better. And that when it was kind of just that, it was like, what feels good? I'm just going to go towards those things. And I think it can start right there. It can be right there. And perhaps the discernment that's required to follow something that's good is that we have the self-awareness to know what isn't serving us in our addictions. And I don't mean like addictions in a super heavy way, but like just in our like dopamine addictions to our phone or, you know, or screen time or Netflix or a substance or whatever, whatever that might be getting us into this loop of destructive-ish behavior that kind of holds us back. So being aware of those things that, you know, there's like definitely a time where Netflix and being on the couch and grieving and all of that stuff like comes into play and is totally fine. But we also just, yeah, we need the awareness to like know when that's not serving us as well and to know when that's a crutch. So I started with my body. I started like movement practices and that felt really good. And that started to be a huge, huge release for me of stress, of crying, of like you know, sitting in the discomfort, learning to meditate. And then one of the first like really big steps I started to take in terms of like listening to my intuition was I booked a retreat. I went out, I was like, I need space away from this to like create space to have this time to really understand what's going on for me. And it was like months out, I had time to save and all that good stuff. But like, that was a really big step for me because it gave me something to really look forward to. And it gave me these like kind of distinct dates. And I think sometimes you book something significant like that as a way to hold yourself accountable, as a way to say, like, even on a subconscious level, you're like, something is going to change. And, you know, you start to prepare yourself in so many ways for that. And so that was a really big intentional step that I took that, you know, I don't know if I thought about that in that moment. I'm going to do this for intention or anything like that. It was just something I knew I needed for myself. And it helped kind of like accelerate that decision and put me into situations that were a bit out of my comfort zone and new environment to open my mind in. And those were kind of like really powerful moments. It was a lot about getting into my body, though. I would say that that was like one of the first intentional steps I took was like releasing stress and finding like fluidity, like movement as a whole, which is, you know, pure medicine. Yeah.
I love that. I love what you were talking about there around your intuition, because I think that for many of us, intuition, like now I understand intuition so much because I feel like I kind of lean into it a lot. But before, I could not understand what it meant. I love what you were saying there about that idea where it's like the thing that feels like this doesn't make sense is actually your intuition, because that is very much a feeling that I would agree with, where it's like, I don't know why I'm going in this direction, but it just feels right. And it's like what I need to do.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to understand it, but it's just like, what is? That is such a, I don't know, like a foreign idea to most people, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There are moments where you have intuition, like I am having an intuition. It's probably not like that for most people, right? And even that's quite rare. So in moments where I'm reflecting on like intuition, it's actually usually, it's sometimes not even conscious. It's like the decision to turn right instead of left, and then it makes sense why you got there, or like this split second decision to, I don't know, pick up the phone and call somebody. And you know, you just kind of do it. You get to the other side of it and you're like, oh my gosh, I knew I needed to call that person. And then there's kind of the other side of it where there's more deliberation in like, you know, you have more time and space to, you know, say, should I leave this job? And there's like maybe like 6 months, 2 years between that first, I would call that maybe an inner knowing or like this inclination of like the spirit to start to nudge you in a certain direction. Maybe it is a deep intuition in a moment of like knowing that this is not next. But there are big decisions that usually start with this inner knowing and then take a lot of conscious effort and deliberation to like get to the other side of that. Our intuitive capacities really only like just strengthen like any muscle over time with practice and with getting to know yourself better. But I think the easiest way to start is, well, let's just like, you can call it your gut. I'm going to listen when something doesn't feel right in my body. I'm going to start to listen to what truth sounds like to me, like the resonance of truth in somebody's voice, that like transmission of frequency. I'm going to try and start to listen to what that sounds like in my body so that I can then start to know what untruth sounds like, or sit in a space of being able to listen and hear somebody else's truth and not take it on, but observe it and be able to hold it. Say, I see that, like I can hold that for you and it's not what I'm taking on, or it's maybe not even necessarily what I believe, but I respect you. I can hold the compassion of in my heart for what is true for you. I think that's all of this like forever work of understanding ourselves. And in understanding yourself, you do start to have a relationship with your intuition, and that word starts to make more sense to you.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that idea of just that tuning in, because I feel like that's the reality, is intuition is always there. I think it's whether or not we're listening to it. And so, because I think back to like, you know, for a very long time, I was feeling to myself, like I was having this kind of feeling like this is not where I'm meant to be. But I was kind of burying that feeling and going like, no, everything's fine. I don't want to I don't want to change anything. Yeah. That fear that we were talking about before. We feel comfortable in where we are. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like, oh, this is supposed to be right. And meanwhile, your intuition's like kind of yelling at you going like, hey, maybe not. Like, let's go somewhere else. And you're like, no. So that ability to actually tune in, I think, is the other half of it, right? Like really seeing that your intuition is there, but it's really the listening to it. I feel like that's what you're speaking to, which I think is really, really powerful.
Yeah. I also just want to say that I feel like I've been kind of like black and white in something, which is that like I also want to make room for the possibility that it's not two options. Like it's not, there are so many options. So something can be true for you. Okay, so you just used your example. I just love so much like, no, it's all good. It's all good. Like how many times have we all been there where you have this like, oh, I don't want to fuck shit up. Like, I'm just not going to do that. But it's like the option doesn't have to be blow your life up or leave your relationship or leave the job. Like there are so many other options in between. So like don't jump to that either because that might not be necessary. It literally might just be that you need to activate and ask for something or set a boundary or redefine your role or move up or move sideways, right? Or just like have a really hard conversation with your loved one and actually stay and actually like work through and actually practice being able to bring a different truth to the conversation and to your relationship. And then you're going to fall in love potentially even more with this new ability to go so much deeper. And I think we get so scared to say things sometimes because if we say them, we think they're true. And that's not always the case. Sometimes we just need a safe space for those wild thoughts and ideas to have a space to exist without judgment and to just say like, oh my God, I had this crazy idea. Can I share it with you? Like, it really scares me. How does that make you feel? You know, or you can do that with your therapist or somebody in your life, but it's like, there's a world of possibility between this and this. And it's not the polarity of this means this, but like, what are all of the other opportunities and options that I have to create?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up because it is true. It's not the black and white, like jump off the cliff feeling. It's like working through like what is right for you because what is right for me might not be right for you kind of thing. So I feel like that's such a good point. And I want to just touch upon something, which I'm curious, like how do you feel like your corporate experience has kind of helped you in what you are doing now?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So, I mean, I guess in a lot of ways, but really like I did work with amazing people and there were challenging people, but like there was a lot of amazing people there. Well, there was that in and of itself, but also what I was doing. So like I came from science and it was like your bachelor of science is like, it was hard. Like it's a lot of work. All of my friends would be like in a business program and going out like every night of the week or watching TV every night. And like my reality as a science student, and I'm sure other science students get it, and I was just also very devoted. But like I was studying every single day. And I also partied really hard. Don't get me wrong, like on the weekends, but like there was zero TV. There was maybe also because I did have to study hard. Like it might come easier to some people. But when I entered my first corporate job, it was pure creativity. It was like vision boards and forecasting trends for fashion, like diving into culture and seeing how a film or a movement or anything in culture or art was influencing the collective psyche. And so that was just like so cool. And I was like, oh, I'm actually really good at this too. And it was like where I got to like really experience a different side of my brain to say that like, oh my gosh, I am creative and I love this. And this is like, this also feels really natural. And then there was aspects of that that have just kind of carried through in my whole life. So in actually what I was doing on my daily, I really loved so many elements of it. It was a really fun, glamorous job too. Yeah. And then I guess from like the corporate sense, it's kind of interesting. I think I've learned more from it now as well. Like it's kind of, there's a lot of lessons that I now begin to understand as well, having a company that is, you know, going through different stages and evolving and, you know, having started with so little structure for Rainbow and then evolving into really understanding and having such a deep appreciation for what structure provides and how organization grounds all of your ideas to flourish and happen much more effortlessly and seamlessly when there is a plan, you know, and that's not my like natural, I'm not naturally, I suppose, like a super structured person. So that's been effort and a lot of learning for me to create. But there's a lot of amazing organizations, like just so many now, that are also bringing in different levels of leadership and culture. And I think that's, for me, probably at its core, the culture didn't resonate and was what I wanted to aim to create within something I did on my own.
Amazing. I find that so interesting because meanwhile, I felt like my corporate background took away my creativity. So it's actually very refreshing to hear how yours actually nurtured your creativity.
Yes.
So I just want to note that. I think that's really cool. But I do want to shift towards talking about Rainbow, your business. And, you know, it's interesting because something that I picked up, I was listening to your interview with Henry on Dharma Talk. And one of the things I took note of that I love that you mentioned and I want you to talk about is you had mentioned this feeling of like, you don't have the background to like create this company. And I love that notion because it's something I often sit with myself in what I'm doing, like doing this podcast, for example. But I would love for you to talk a little bit about like that feeling of not feeling like you have the background, but then starting this business.
I just want to like pocket that. There's like some, I don't think naive is the right word for it because it's like the perfect amounts of self-determination and confidence and naivete and innocence to some extent. Having seen a lot more in the business world now, I just want to like hug that part of me that was like, yeah, I can do this, no problem. And I honestly think it's a bit of a superpower. So like, I really don't think it should hold anybody back. But you do have to work hard and put yourself out there and try and get people to help, right? I definitely did a lot of that. Yeah, and it's an interesting thing to reflect on. I suppose at that point, I was more well-versed in like an inner knowing as well, because I had been on this path for quite a while. And, you know, even before Rainbow, when I started The Well Woman, which was kind of it was a blog and consulting platform, and kind of I did a lot of freelance work and dinners and one-on-one with clients and all sorts of kind of experiences through that, sitting in a meditation, and the name and the whole concept came through. And that does happen for me, even if it changes. It's like something comes through. It's usually when I'm sitting in a meditation and then I refine it, because it's like not always the exact thing, but it was the same for Rebo. It was like, okay, I got this download, I will call it, of doing this. And it was also informed by chatting. I think the one thing I recommend in terms of this like conversation around purpose and dharma or your creativity or stepping into creating your own business and all of that stuff, like I talked to trusted people that really believed in me. Not everybody, but like I had a few friends and people that I could have these conversations with, and I just kept having them. And so like I let that flow of energy come out. And through that, you start to get feedback, and like people will provide that feedback to you, and you take little pieces of things, and some of it really resonates and starts to like really help your process. When it came to Rainbow, I suppose, I had done a lot of that. I had done some trial and error of, I want to have a bigger reach. My one-on-one work was, you know, taking like 16 hours to like create something for somebody. It was like so personalized. And I wasn't really feeling super effective at a larger scale. And so I started to kind of chip away at my interests. And so it wasn't like I just like all of a sudden was, you know, this is it. It did take, there was months of like refining and writing and talking to people and bouncing ideas off of people and talking with people in business who would give me these like reality checks of some of my ideas. And that was just so valuable, because when you start to actually talk about an idea and then you get feedback from somebody who can tell you something like that is going to be a really big truth, they're going to give you feedback and you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. And so when you don't do it, that's perfect. Like that's actually such a gift and a blessing. And it's not to say like don't do it, but you have to like Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
I do. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you bring an idea to, say, a mentor or somebody who's going to give you some coaching advice. And by the way, like, so many people will do this for free because they want to support and offer their advice. I think people are way more kind than you think. And also, if they don't say yes the first time, like, keep at it, keep following them, keep learning from them and like elevating yourself. And like, eventually them or somebody will have a conversation with you. And as it's just, there's always somebody that you can have access to that has experience in a field that can help you. But like, so let's say you have a conversation with somebody who's giving you some advice and they're like, okay, well, if you want to do that, you should probably, I'll give a specific example. I spoke to my friend's dad who, remember why I spoke with him. He's like a scientist. And anyways, he was giving me some advice about business models, and the finance side of things has been like definite, not my, it's been a long journey. But at that point, it was like, I was like even more newbie to an Excel sheet. So he was like, gave me all of this amazing feedback on my idea. And he was like, I really suggest you do this. If you want to move forward with this, like definitely create this little business model, do X, Y, and Z. Like now that you know this time frame for its shelf life, like you definitely should do this. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful for that conversation because it meant nothing to him. He was like, mm-hmm. It's not like he owed him anything in terms of like, I have to give him this spreadsheet. But in that moment, I was like, I already know that this shelf life part of the conversation is just like, this is not the thing that I can move forward with. So whether that's like an inherent decision to say like, oh, wow, I don't want to create a product with that 3-week shelf life. That's just absolute gold. That can save you years. Because if you go down that path and ultimately like spend this time on a product that's not feasible or that's really, really hard to produce, which happens to so many of us, it's just kind of like a bit of wasted time, I suppose. Like you could see it that way. So that's what I kind of mean. Like when you feel that energy that moves through you, that's like, yes, I don't know how to do this spreadsheet, but I'm going to do my best. And then I'm going to send it to him and ask for more feedback. It's really simple in that sense in terms of like you can follow your energy through the process. So also long-winded, sorry. But I guess my takeaways from that are in terms of doing something you have no idea how to do is there are lots of people that will help you and support you. And I'm talking like your friend's dad or mom or an uncle, right? Like there is somebody in your network that you can go to and ask some questions. And that, in a sense, is not something that should hold you back. It's actually something that can give you so much creativity and start to also really look at like understanding your skill set. Like what are my gifts that I can really offer to this? And how can I strategically position myself with really smart people that have the opposite skill set? Because that will be the most critical thing, as you know, if you either want to do solopreneur kind of stuff, which is great too, but if you do need some people around you, which you eventually may, don't hire somebody that's just like you. Like you really want an opposite to match your skill set. And that's just like so critical. And I am a solo founder, like it's a lot to hold that. You do have to get really good at a lot of stuff that you're not going to be, that is not in your, you know, suite of things that you're amazing at.
I love that. I think it is so powerful, that ability to say like, there are people, like there's someone in your network or your network's network that can kind of give you those kind of touch points. And I think it's always interesting because somehow just having conversations just generally with people will end up bringing the right people to you.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, it's interesting because I think unknowingly, sometimes people just give you the piece of knowledge, that reflection point when you are talking through an idea.
Yeah.
And even if it's not the person that you think you need, like somehow I feel like those points of reference and that ability to have those conversations will eventually help you in terms of like that refinement. Yeah. Is such a powerful thing that you're saying.
It really is. And the other thing is get your physical body in a space of the energy where the people that you want to do business with exist. I used to be a server and like I would make so much money doing waitressing. And it got to a point where I was like, yeah, kind of, I was able to like pay my way through school and my second in holistic nutrition. And just, it was so good for me during a pocket of time. But again, eventually it was like, oh, this doesn't feel resonant with me. Like I have to say no to this money. And so I went to go work in one of my closest friends' cafes. And it was a organic health cafe. And I just kind of was like, this is the environment that I need to be in right now because I didn't even know what I was going to do. I was like studying holistic nutrition and kind of was like, I knew I had aspirations to create something of my own, but I knew that I needed to be there and be in that group with that group of people interacting with those customers. And eventually what happened when I was with Rainbow is that I got to speak with somebody who actually started to give me information about the natural health product space. And it was through working in that space. And so it's like, you can volunteer somewhere. You can try and do an energy exchange. You can get a part-time job anywhere, right? Like the only thing that would hold you back from that is maybe some of your time, but even that, it can be quite minimal. Your ego, but that you should be able to, you know, check. And like, so that's a really crucial piece too, is like, just get near the people doing the stuff that you want to be doing, go to an event, right? And maybe aspects of this, if you're an introvert, might be a little bit more difficult, but perhaps there's, you know, the ability to step outside some of your boundaries to some extent to, yeah, put yourself in those spheres, because you just meet people and you're going to, if you have the intention to find that connection, like you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm like, oh, there's like two different questions I want to go down, and I'm not sure, like maybe I'm going to pose both of them and then you can decide which one to go down, because I'm like kind of curious, like when you were starting up Rainbow, were you still in your corporate job at that time, or like how did that kind of play out? Let's start with that.
When I started Rainbow, I was at Nut Bar, which was the cafe I was working at part-time. Oh no, I was still at Nut Bar, I think part-time, like one or two shifts a week. And then I was doing the Well Woman. I was like for about 2 years, I was working one-on-one with clients, hosting dinners, doing workshops, retreats, and a lot of cooking, right? I was doing like, I was a private chef working, doing like healing meals for families. So it was a little bit of a mixture of things. And I was also, I made this really delicious artisanal nut cheese that I would sell at farmers markets. That was the, and they had like amazing ingredients and mushrooms and all sorts of incredible flavors. It was like pure creativity and joy to make them. And like, anyways, but that was the product that I was like, maybe I should make this nut cheese. And then I really got into the logistics of a perishable product. I was like, no. And for the best too. Absolutely. But yeah, I was doing that. And then it took about a year of, I was going to move back to my parents' house. And then I met my boyfriend and he was like, don't worry about it. I got our rent, like just, and I'm so grateful. I was like ready. I was like, no, I'm no problem. Like I'll just move back for a year and get this thing off the ground to, in order to pursue this. But very lucky that he had kind of gave me this time and space to just like bunker down and create this. So that's where he was. Yeah. Corporate job was like back when I was, 22 to 24, I think.
Okay. When you left your corporate career, and then like, what was the next step after leaving that?
And then after that, I started at a startup, which was an amazing experience. And I kind of had like an entrepreneurial role in that too, in terms of like getting the first store up and running and hiring a team. That was also a stepping stone where I was like, I'm going to do this for a year or ish, a year, about a year, and gather all this experience about how to run my own business. And then I'm going to go back to school. So it was kind of the progression of, the corporate job and then kind of a startup, an amazing kind of experience and role within that for about a year. And then I went back to school and studied holistic nutrition this time around. And then it was kind of, starting the Well Woman consulting, doing kind of a lot under that umbrella. And then it transitioned into Rainbow.
Amazing. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about Rainbow. I feel like there's so much we can talk about. It's like endless. But I want to talk about Rainbow and how it's so interesting. So like, I feel like adaptogens is kind of like a buzzword. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about like, what does that really mean? And what do you see? Like, if you could talk a little bit about what Rainbow really is.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I'll start with Rainbow. We make mushroom-based products. We're a mushroom company, and all of our mushrooms are grown in Canada. Some of them are actually foraged. We grow sustainably harvest most of our stuff in terms of like we're growing it. We have a farmer in Quebec, and then we do wildcraft our chaga, but we do that in a really responsible way. Yeah, we're basically creating healing products. In Canada, they're called natural health products. In the US, they'd be called dietary supplements. And right now, they're all liquid extracts. So all tinctures, which are kind of bioavailable way to ingest it. It's just a different format, similar to a capsule, but you can really easily add it to beverages. They're bioavailable in the sense that our body absorbs them instantly instead of needing to go through the whole digestive tract. And yeah, there's, you know, the whole also side of my journey that has been very much, you know, this evolving journey of my healing path and finding mushrooms in that process and really experiencing some pretty incredible transformations in my body and wanting to share that with people. So, and you know, and then we also do like, there's a lot of education around mushrooms and fungi, and the philosophical part of the answer is like just what they represent in nature and the ways that this deep connection to fungi, how that has opened my entire life and world up to the power of nature truly, and being able to see this beautiful, beautiful reflection of humanity in nature and just this like merging. And so from a philosophical perspective, it's like just that, yeah, the interconnectedness of all life on earth. And that is, you know, the essence of what I want people to also just feel inherently from the brand and interactions with us. So that's been, that's like a fun thing that grounds me to our mission. But an adaptogen is a, you know, they're herbs or mushrooms, typically, yeah, plants or mushrooms that have the ability to facilitate the body being able to reach a level of homeostasis. So they are proven to be safe. So there's no maximum dosages of adaptogens that could create any harm in the body. They're extremely safe, and they are, they come into the body and they help the body basically respond to stress in a more balanced way. And so they have an interaction with the endocrine system and the nervous system. And they, so there's like an HPA axis in the body, hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenal glands. And that's this like, you know, beautiful, brilliant, chaotic sometimes dance of cortisol in the body. An adaptogen comes in and basically just like helps create more of a consistent baseline. And so they're amazing in that they do that for our hormones, for cortisol, for the immune system. And that's largely where the mushrooms come in. They are incredibly healing and modulating to our immune system. We think about these systems as separate, but they are always in some sort of communication with each other. And mushrooms, in the way that they create these connections in forests and underground networks of plants and trees and connecting all of that, I believe that they come into our bodies as well and start to get those systems online as well. So connecting the nervous system with our hormones, with the enzymes of the liver, and ultimately all of the little messengers and chemical molecules that are sending and transmitting information through the immune system, the circulatory system. All of that is kind of mediated by a variety of things that we put in our bodies. And there is an intelligence that comes from nature, that comes from plants, and comes from wisdom of fungi that we invite into our bodies that just help there be a more balanced state of returning back to being able to just regulate faster.
Yeah, I love that. I find it so interesting. I love everything you were saying around that kind of interconnectedness with nature. I think that's such a beautiful thing that I think is becoming more and more relevant and prevalent in our world, which I think is so beautiful because it's like technology, I feel like, has often made us feel very disconnected to the world. And now it's like there's this kind of renaissance to like reconnecting ourselves to nature and all this idea. So I thought that was really nice. And something that I thought was really interesting is like when you were talking about that kind of regulation, and because when I was looking at the Rainbow website, I noticed like there's this kind of categorization of like, do you want it to help you with like stress or anxiety or these different things? I find that so interesting. It's like the ability, you know, it's like we are what we eat, but also the fact that certain things that we eat can have these kind of impacts on our emotions and our mental health and capacity. And I find that mushrooms are such an interesting food for that ability for it to be impacting these facets. So I would love for you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I suppose one of the ways that I look at that is there's so many ways. There's like from a nourishment perspective, there is putting, you know, whole food nourishment into our body and eating regularly. And it's like all of the goodness that comes with choosing healthy foods that are really supportive to the body and a range of, you know, your macronutrients, carbohydrates, proteins, fruits, vegetables, meat, fish, any and everything on that sense is all kind of like information for the body. And, you know, big building blocks that the body's, you know, then starts to digest into its individual building blocks to make our brain and our liver and our bodies and all of our cells. So I guess the way that I kind of look at some of this stuff is that it's all just information on some level to the body to transform and transmute into more sustenance and whatnot. But like, you know, there's like, I believe like this inherent intelligence in an apple and an inherent intelligence in a fungi or a plant. And they all bring very unique things into the body that are brilliant in their own ways. And so, you know, there's also information in like a processed food. And so like, I guess really there's like, it's all an experience for the nervous system. I think from an environmental perspective, our nervous system is kind of this facet of like, of connection of like, of the internal body with the external world, whether you're looking at a phone screen and taking in the information of the news or hearing it on the radio or we'll walk through the forest or overhearing something a stranger is saying. I think we're constantly bombarded by so much information and like actual content that's coming into the body. And from a food and in your consumption perspective, it's really the same thing. And inviting awareness and intention into that process, similar to what we were talking about with the purpose discussion, it's like there's also feeding your purpose in so many ways. And that also exists in how you choose to build this physical vessel and take care of yourself and like move energy through the system. So I think that nourishment piece of choosing your foods and your medicines wisely is really only going to anchor this physical body to live and exist at its highest potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what was it about mushrooms in particular that you felt like that was kind of the lane that you wanted to work in?
Well, when I was in school, I had a pretty incredible experience with medicinal mushrooms. And that kind of set me out. That kind of was just this like very big moment of understanding how powerful these mushrooms were and kind of facilitated this admiration for them. And yes, it wasn't like that was immediately like, oh, I'm going to start this business, but it kind of was progressive from there where I started to research and dive into books and learn more about psilocybin and have my own psychedelic journey. And that was, you know, extremely life-changing. And so it was kind of this combination of like of all fungi and really what this represents and what this can do for people. For me, it was kind of this like also kind of sustained like after having a mushroom trip, it's like it never stopped. And I think like being able to get to that point where like the connection is not, yeah, I don't think we can be on a psychedelic every day of our life, but we can, you know, but there's like the ability to have an open mind every single day of your life. And I think there has been just some wild activation of what fungi have given to me that I know is possible for others too. And that has been the gift of this supreme intelligence that is what nature is, and that is what I am, and that is what you are, this like thread that connects us all, and that there is no separation in any single human on this planet, and that there is this divine union of us going back to this world and this like beautiful cycle and the mystery of it all. And so I think it's just invited that journey and this deep experience. And, you know, and then it was like, oh my gosh, well, I want to share this. I want to create products and help people and give people access to these mushrooms that have been so transformative for me and share this knowledge. That was kind of how it all led into it all.
I love that. I love that. So it's funny, when you had done the previous interview, you had one product and now you have many.
Yeah, cool. I was like, I don't even remember what year that was, but that's awesome. Cool.
Right. So I thought that was really neat. I was like, oh, look at how far your business has grown from when you did the interview with Henry. But I'm curious, like, if someone was interested in it, like, well, A, it's like, who do you recommend it for? Or is it for everyone? And do you feel like, is there like a certain product that they should start with? Or how does that kind of work, look?
Yeah. So mushrooms are generally very, very safe for most people. There isn't too much research on children just because it's obviously quite hard to study that population, but there's a ton of people that give their kids mushrooms. And I would say, you know, some contraindications would be maybe if you have a mushroom allergy. Some people do have those. So that's definitely something you'd want to look out for, although it's quite rare. And then if you're on blood thinning medication, that might be something you'd want to be careful about with chaga specifically. But otherwise, they are extremely safe to take. And the beauty is that every stage of human, there's going to be parts of the year where there's more stress or our immune system gets challenged. And so the beauty of them is that really they're any stage of life, you know, they're going to be great for. And there's so much versatility amongst the mushrooms as well. So you can really start anywhere. I do think 1111 is a great place to start because it's kind of like all system resilience, and the power of 11 mushrooms together is they create this synergistic effect where they all kind of increase, enhance the benefits of the other in a beautiful way. And so that's going to be kind of whole body resilience, immune system, great place to start. And then otherwise, if you have other specific health goals, you can also start there. So if it's anxiety that you're really is a health goal for you right now, then you could start with reishi. If there's a chronic disease or illness, chaga, turkey tail are great. If you, you know, really want to combat cognitive challenges, memory loss, or brain fog or anything like that, lion's mane is an excellent mushroom for that. Yeah, stress, cordyceps, like postpartum, like there's a lot of, could be, you know, cordyceps as well. There's a lot of different, depending on where somebody's coming from and what's up in their life, I would maybe recommend a different mushroom from them, different stages, but there's also no wrong place to start. They're very safe. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because also I imagine there's a lot of people that don't like mushrooms, but it's like they could take these tinctures and not have the experience of eating mushrooms, right? From that degree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. So the last thing that I want to talk about, and apologies, we are kind of running over, but I'm like, I can't stop talking with you, is the last thing that we wanted to talk about was creativity. And you brought it up a few times through our conversation, but I would love for you to talk a little bit about how creativity has really impacted your life and how it is with building this business that you have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love this. Yeah. Creativity. I would say that... Yeah, I think what I was saying to you is really that, like, I don't think this word is reserved for an artist, or there are maybe some classic creative roles, but I think we forget that creativity is like our absolute birthright, and that it is, you know, there's so many things that feed into it, is this sense of open-mindedness, playfulness, and an orientation to create, which we are doing every single day. If you're writing an email, you're creating, if you have an idea you want to bring to somebody, your boss or anything, like, or a vision that you want to bring to life, or whatever, like a house you're building, or, you know, it's all creativity is ultimately it, like every aspect of our lives. And it's also inherent if you think about like the energy systems in the body and that like creative power center, right? That's interesting that our power is directly linked to our creativity and our sense of like life force. And, you know, as a woman, I also have a unique relationship with this aspect of creativity because it is like through the portal of a woman that life itself is created. So there's like, you know, just interesting like relationship with these power centers in our body and our creativity centers and our emotional centers and our sexual centers and how to like transmute any of that stuff into an experience of an outward creation, whether that's a human being or a relationship or a project or, you know, your business or anything of that sort. I think it can all be a creative act, not to like directly quote Rick Rubin, but you know what I mean. And so I think it's so vital if somebody is struggling with their life force or their purpose and just not feeling a lot of energy in the system or feeling dull or anything of that sort. For me, in my experience anyways, it's like, if I can just stop what I'm doing and pause that and take a step, and it literally could be anything. Like, it could just be a walk in the woods. It could be picking rocks on a beach, making a small, like, I don't know, leaf or rock mandala in the forest, or playing with a kid and just like, you know, like having playtime with my niece. And just getting into that mind state, or just there's so many ways to activate it: writing, journaling, dancing, movement, all of that is a way of being and existing in the world. And I think that it is, it's just so essential to our spirit. And we also exist, like so many people exist online now too. And it's like everything you do can be a creation. There's like a whole creator economy and community now. And so there's just so many ways to create things and to have a relationship with what you're putting out into the world. And I think that there's a lot of beautiful medicine in that for people, because it's also this ability to step into how I want to show up, right? Like that could be purpose for most of us, is just like, well, how do I want to create in this online world, in this online community? What can I create in this business that I work in, or for my life personally, or for, you know, this holiday season, can I create paintings or like gifts for people instead of buying things? I just think it's essential to everybody, even if you're not in a quote unquote creative role, that there is creativity within every single ability to make a decision and to have creativity in how you decide to respond in the most challenging situations, right? When it's like you automatically go to like this habitual response, can there be creativity in how you decide to show up? Can there be creativity in how you decide to uplevel yourself and be a leader and do the hard thing, like do the thing that's like the hard one, to show up as a better person, just do better. Yeah. So I love creativity. I think it is really, really an important form of medicine because of what happens in when your brain, from a neuroplasticity perspective, like when your brain is in an open state. I'm doing a little bit of research around this in my master's, but like, yeah, just what can happen in medicine when there is creativity? What can happen in healing when there is creativity is very fascinating to me. And I don't think that those two realms are separate. I think there actually needs to be a lot more creativity in it. I want to invite everybody to really think about what creativity means for them in this moment and what would activate that and what would get you into like this state of flow in doing and in being, like maybe it's painting or writing or conversation. So I love chats on creativity.
Yeah, I loved everything you said there. I think it's so powerful, that ability to look at creativity outside of that box of like particular art forms or whatever, which is, you know, a beautiful form of creativity. But I feel like it's so true that creativity is pervasive through our lives. And I think that's why it has kind of peppered our conversation today, because it's like there's so many ways in which creativity can kind of blossom. And it's interesting, what I was just thinking about as you were saying that is how I think creativity also is so connected to that intuition that we were talking about earlier, in that ability to have that openness, to have that feeling of like not sitting in the box. That's creativity. And that's what allows you to welcome in the intuition and those downloads and all of this great stuff that we've been talking about. So it is so powerful, the ability to see ourselves as these, that creativity is our birthright, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. I want to be cognizant of your time. Is there anything else that we haven't covered off on that you would like to share?
Nothing left to share. No, I think that was really
perfect.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into our final questions and get you off to your meeting. So the first question is, how would you describe your current relationship to yourself?
Connected.
Amazing. Okay. What do you consider most valuable to you right now?
Most valuable, there is a good amount of like visioning for the future and planting the seeds and really digging my feet in exactly where I am, which is not totally where I'm going, being okay with right here and planting the seeds and doing exactly what I need to today to get me to that next stage. So there's, I would say clarity actually is really, really important to me right now, because it clarity to know what the next big step is helping me be more present in knowing exactly what needs to get done today.
I love that. I love that. Okay. What is the best lesson that you've learned recently?
Gosh, there's been so many.
What's the first one that comes to mind?
I think just honesty and open communication is revolutionary and can be exactly what is needed to have positive, even if they're hard, like positive outcomes for everybody involved.
Absolutely. I love that. What is the number one skill you believe everyone should work on?
I think right now, in the times that we're in, the ability to have discernment is really, really important. The ability to know what truth is for you, because there are 7 billion truths, and all of them may have their own forms of, you know, truth in their reality. But I think that discernment in this time, the ability to know what is for you and what is resonating as truth, is a really critical skill. And in addition to that, like the ability to think for yourself.
Yeah. I love that word, discernment. I think it's so powerful. Okay. Final question is, what do you see as the purpose or meaning of life?
So I suppose I really do believe in the kind of evolution of a spirit, and for the achievement of like deeply connecting with your spirit, because no matter what in this life, you will have a varying degree of connection to your physical body and your mind. And those are going to be things that you use every single day without fail, whether you're conscious of it or not. I think that spirit part of us may be something that we're less familiar with getting attuned to. And yet, in my experience, for my personal beliefs, for me, it has been the most brilliant unfolding lotus of meaning and depth to the biggest, hardest questions of life. I have come to know and come to find solace and meaning in through a deep connection of my spirit and feeling so connected in that. And in that is, yeah, just not having any limitations, like doing everything I need to do on a daily basis so that there's no regrets, and so that there's like this orientation of me through my spirit in this life to create a sense of completion of what my spirit wants to achieve and do, and how it wants to be here in this insane chance that we have to be alive on this beautiful planet where there's a lot of everything, a lot of all polarities. So I think there's a deep connection to your spirit would be the big purpose.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you so, so much, Tanya. This has been so incredible. So if anyone wants to connect with you or buy Rainbow, can you share how they can do so?
Yeah. So Rainbow is, there's no W on the end. So it's rainbo.com. You can find us there. You can find me on Instagram mostly, I would say, Instagram at Tanya Papanikolaou. I will have a newsletter soon where I'll share more musings and philosophical conversations and thoughts and things like that. So that will be a nice place to connect sometime soon. But for now, you can find me on Instagram. I respond to virtually every single DM, and on Rainbow's front, we're at Rainbow Mushrooms on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, thank you again, Tanya. This was such an incredible conversation, and I so appreciate your time on coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I get to just like chat about all my favorite things with you. So that was a pleasure for me as well. So thank you so much. And I hope this conversation lands in the hearts and ears and spirits of people who need to hear the message.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of A Way of Thinking. I hope it has been a source of inspiration and guidance as you continue to navigate your path towards greater creativity, purpose, and inner peace. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more seekers like you. And for those of you ready to take a deeper dive into your journey, I invite you to book a free strategy session with me, your host, Jessica Huang. It's an opportunity for us to explore how you can shift to the creative career you've always dreamed of. Simply visit jessicahuangcoaching.com and schedule your session today. Remember, the power to create the life you desire resides within you, and I'm here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, embrace the journey, cultivate your inner creative, and never stop seeking your true purpose.